Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business in your behalf, beloved. I've been sharing this week, aspiring to the will of God, and I believe some folks that are listening that God has placed some spiritual desires, dreams, if you will, visions in your heart, and it seems like an impossible thing. I'm thinking of a dear friend who God moved on her heart, and she felt she's not a young woman, but that God wanted her to start an orphanage in a particular country. I mean, what an amazing, massive plan. It was something God placed in her heart, and God is able to make a way. So whatever it is that God might have placed there, we can find some examples in the life of Nehemiah. What happened in the first opening chapter, we see that he got news of how bad things were at Jerusalem, and it broke his heart. It says that in verse 4, when he heard those words, he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And this was his particular task. I mean, he was to be the leader that was to go back and see the walls restored. But what did he do? He sought God, and he repented not only for his sin, but he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which had rebelled against God. He said, "We have sinned, both I and my father's house have sinned and dealt very corruptly against thee." And he reminded the Lord of his promises. And then in that second chapter, in verse 5, after he had sought God, it says, "I said unto the king, if it please the king and thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" So it pleased the king to send thee, and I set him a time. "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah." And verse 8, "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into." And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. The king granted his requests. And we can look in the book of Ezra and see that this same king had commanded Rehum and Shimshai to stop rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Ezra, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 23, I won't take the time to read it, but basically what happened is these two individuals, Rehum and Shimshi the scribe, they basically sent a copy to the king, and they said, "They are rebuilding Jerusalem. It's a bad, rebellious city. And if you let them do this, king, they're not going to pay taxes, and it will damage the revenue of the kings." And they basically say, "You know, go ahead, make a search, and look at the book of records of your fathers, and you shall find and know for certain that this is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and promises." And that's exactly what happened. And verse 19, "I commanded a search had been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition had been made therein." And basically, verse 21, "Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, that the city be not builded." So that was definitely a closed door, if you will, because the king commanded it. But because Nehemiah it was at God's time, and it was in his way, he sought God, and he as he prayed, God so went before him that the king was greatly impressed. He had been in fasting, he had been in prayer, and the king gave Nehemiah letters authorizing his safe passage and gave a requisition order, if you please, for all the supplies that Nehemiah would need. Obviously, you can see that he was able succinctly to say, this is what I need. He'd spent a lot of time in prayer. He sought the knowledge that he needed, and he waited on God's wisdom on how to proceed. And beloved, for our own lives, it's the people who will stand as overcomers, those who know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who understand our mighty Lord, they know that God is going to undertake for his people. There's a time coming, beloved, Revelation 21 and 4, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. But now is the time to work. And the builder of walls is a child of God who acts in faith without hesitation. What walls does God want you to build? Who do you know? What lives does he want you to be a repairer of the breach? Who do you know that needs God's mighty intervention? If he's put a desire in your heart, if he's put a dream, then God will make a way for you. He will confirm his will. He'll make every opportunity for the right doors to be open in the right timing. Those who want all of God's full provision in their lives are people of action. Remember, I said it takes faith, action, knowledge, and then tenacity to persevere under trial, which will uncertainly come. But we can rejoice because God will cause us to be victorious, even as he did for Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a man of action, even though he was afraid. You might think, oh, there's no way I can do this. Let me read just the preceding verses in that chapter 2 before he actually addressed the king that I just read. It says in that first verse, it was in the month of Nisan, he was the king's cupbearer, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not before time been sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. You didn't do that in the presence of a king. And then we see in verse 3, he makes his request. And I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make thy request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And then those verses I shared, he made his request known. If it pleased the king, if I found favor, that you would send me to Judah, that I may build it. And so you see, it's a process, and I want you to see that whatever it is that God has placed on your heart, even though it might be a frightening experience. It said he was very sore afraid. He was the king's cupbearer, and he was certainly breaking protocol. And he boldly asked for the things that he needed to have for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Beloved, the people who always have their heads in the clouds, you know, those who just dream dreams and see visions and never seem to have the courage and the boldness and the strength to get the things that they've been given of God, to see their full portion of God's complete blessing in their lives, or in fact, for those around them who need help. Beloved, in other words, God, dreams and visions are wonderful, and they're glorious when they're God-given. Praise God for that. But it still takes faith and action, knowledge, and tenacity. The people told Nehemiah, after he shared what God has done, let's rise up and build. And then they went about preparing themselves to do the work. Sometimes the work God has placed on your heart, you can't do it alone. But then he will bring and give the materials, the supplies, the workers, whatever is needed to fulfill the vision. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Amen. In the fifth chapter of Nehemiah, we see the beginning of the oppression against the people of Judah as they started to build the walls. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Also I said, it's not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. And so he's speaking to those of the Jews, and he says, don't do this. Restore, I pray you, to them, verse 11, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money, and of the corn, and the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. Then they said, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to the promise. So he was intent that everything would be done in a way pleasing to the Lord, that God would favor their work, that God would fight their enemies, which he did. Nehemiah just didn't stand back and watch this oppression. He went right to the nobles. He went right to the officials. He challenged them to do the right thing. And then Nehemiah ordered the keeping of the Sabbath and the removal of those who would defile the priesthood. And friend, God is doing that today. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and we're seeing God do a work to cleanse the very household of faith, and he's doing that. There are those who will harden their neck and stiffen their hearts, and they just will not yield to the Lord. We can just pray, but what matters is that we be obedient to everything God speaks to our heart. Well, with the Lord's help, we will conclude this tomorrow, but I pray that you will be obedient to the heavenly vision. That's what Paul said. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. I love you. I thank you for your prayer support, and if you have a vision that you want to see come to pass, you believe it's of God, I invite you to write, share that God-given dream and vision God has placed in your heart. And I believe we'll see God move heaven and earth. When he's in something, he will bring it to pass. I love you. I thank you for your prayer support. I thank you for joining me today. And just know that I pray daily for you. UCM Partners, I thank God for you, as well as my radio family. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. And may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.